that it? All right, there we go. All right, bless the Lord, O my soul, right? Let's go to verse number 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Then I want you to skip down to verse number 20. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength and do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his host, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works and all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Do you see the theme? Do you see the emphasis of this psalm? It's bless the Lord. And so in that first verse, he says, bless the Lord, O my soul. And that's what I want to try to put a heart, really put in your heart, to bless the Lord, O my soul. We take Memorial Day as a day, at least America's put it apart as a day, in which to honor those that have fallen, those that have given their life and their sacrifice for our nation, for our country, that we might have freedom. Well, I can tell you this, the same way that we take a moment or a day to honor the Lord every day, whether it be in private or whether it be in public worship, is a day in which to honor and to glorify and to bless our Lord, whether it be public or whether it be private. And so I want to try to see if I can put your heart and drive your heart to that thing, at least stir your heart to that. Let me ask you a question before I get started. What is it that we can give God that he has not already given us? I'm just going to ask you that question. What is it that we can give the Lord that he has not already given us? Could I give him his money? I said it just that way. Can I give him his money? All of your $100 bill, if that's what you have in your pocket, is his already. He asked for 10% of it. But all of it's his. And so when you give it to him, you're just giving his what's his already. Can you give him any kind of monetary wealth or some sort of statue, anything that's not his already? Everything that's ever created, we look this morning, it's so beautiful morning, it's such a glorious morning. All of it that he created honors and glorifies and blesses the Lord already. He created us for that very purpose, that we might honor and glorify and bless the Lord. That's what we're here for. Amen. And so that's what God has given us. And so could we give him service? You could say, Brother Sewell, we could give him service. Do you know this? If I could say the Lord needs me, God doesn't need me. He doesn't need my poor service. He has so many stately men and women that are more qualified than I. He doesn't even need my service. He asked for me to serve him, but he doesn't need me. The Lord Jesus said, even when he was coming there in his triumphant entry into Jerusalem, he said if those people would not have shouted Hosanna, that he would make even the rocks to cry out to praise the Lord. He doesn't even need a human being. It's all his. But there is one thing that we can give the Lord, and it's we can bless the Lord with thanksgiving and we can praise. That's what he says in this verse. He said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. So let's look at this thing just a little bit about blessing the Lord. Look at this, really this psalm. This psalm's been called an envelope psalm. It begins with bless the Lord, O my soul, and it ends with bless the Lord, O my soul. And so that's the emphasis there. And so let's look at what the admonition there is given to us in a song. It's given an admonition to look at the Savior, and it's given an admonition to our own soul to do what the psalmist has given us. And so this admonition, let's look at the first one, is bless the Lord for his blessings. Bless the Lord, O my soul. You know the Lord has given us blessings. Look at verse number 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And what does it say? And forget not all his benefits. Forget not. I think that's my problem many times, is I forget. We forget the Lord's blessings. And so this psalmist tells us, I put down a lot of times people talk about soul food. You know, if you're ever on a diet, don't watch Food Channel. Don't go to the grocery store when you're hungry. And so people talk about soul food. I will tell you, you know what's food for your soul, for your inner soul? It's really praising the Lord. That is soul food and soul refreshing. Is praising and blessing and honoring the Lord for what he's done, his benefits, his honor, his glory. And so none of us would ever admit, I'm looking at a bunch of honest people, none of us would ever admit we would say, I don't have anything to bless the Lord for. Have you ever said that? Don't shake your head. Don't raise your hand. But maybe in our heart we've thought that, you know what, I don't really have anything to bless the Lord for lately. I just don't know of any blessings He's blessed me with. You may say that. You may think that. I can testify I've thought about that before. And I've probably even said it before. You say, you sinner, you need the Lord. I do need Him. And so often I have said that. You know, the psalmist is going to help me. This honest pastor here that's behind this pulpit, he's going to help me this morning. Because he gives us at least a help to say, look at five things he lists that we ought to bless the Lord. By the way, that's under point number one. So don't get so discouraged. I'll try to go through it. But look, if you would, in verse number 3. Let me give you the first thing to help you out. Bless the Lord for all of His benefits, not to forget. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities. All thine iniquities. You know what we can praise the Lord for? He starts where really a man can truly praise the Lord only if his soul is right with God. You could be lost, and there are many people that are religious, and they try to praise the Lord, but you cannot truly praise the Lord until you had your sins forgiven. And the psalmist said, which is David here, he said, I praise the Lord, for thou hast forgiven me all mine iniquities. All of my sins have been forgiven. You know, we have an accuser of the brethren. You know, we have a high priest. He's our advocate. We have a high priest that sits on the right hand of the Father who ever delivered to make intercessions for His saints. He has an ascension work. After His resurrection, He's there. He is our high priest. But at the same time, there is an accuser of the brethren. And His name is Satan. If you want to see Him, you can go to the book of Job, and He's accusing Job of why Job served the Lord. He said, if you take all that benefits and blessings away from Job, does Job serve God for naught? That's what he asked God. And so he's looking there, and he's asking about that question. He says, does Job serve you, but yet because of the blessings or not? You take all those blessings away, and Job won't serve you. But you see that Job did serve the Lord. Even when all that was taken away, Job served the Lord. And you and I, we have that accuser of the brethren. But when a person is born again and saved, his sins are forgiven. They're cleansed. He's forgiven all our iniquities. One of the great verses in the Bible that blesses my own heart is 1 John chapter number 1, verse number 9. I want you to turn with me to there. 1 John chapter number 1. If you don't know this scripture by verse, by memory, you need to memorize this verse. Because it ought to be a lot of believers wonder why they have sin. Wonder after their salvation why they still have the desire to sin. Why they still fall in sin. You say, well, I know that. I've been in church all my life. There's a lot of people that don't know that. They don't understand that. And they can't understand why this old body has never been redeemed. The soul is, this body has never been redeemed. It still has a desire to lust, to be angry, to envy, to try to have temptation in its heart. It still has that. It's still aged. And so we need the Lord to be clean. And so we need God to forgive us. And so that flesh wars against the spirit. Look at verse number 9 of chapter number 1. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now I'm going to tell you something. You might not remember all your sins when you go to confess them to the Lord. But the Lord said He cleanses us from all unrighteous, even those you and I don't know. Even David said there in the 19th Psalm, he said, Lord, keep me back from presumptuous sins and secret faults, sins I don't even know about, that I'm sinning against Thee. He said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in Thy sight, O Lord, my strength, my Redeemer. And here he says, the Lord's forgiveness of all our sins. Could you think with me of Apostle Paul? The Apostle Paul was called as an apostle. But yet before then, he actually was doing religious work, and he caused true Christians to be martyred for their faith. And Stephen was one of them. Could you imagine Paul in his ministry, how the accuser of the brethren would come along and would say to Paul, you know, how could you be saved? How could you be truly free when you had Stephen killed, and many of God's true Christians, you have them martyred? Think about old Thomas. You know, often, you know what Thomas is identified with? Doubting what? Thomas. He was a doubter. But yet he was one of God's apostles. You know, faithlessness is a wicked sin. And Thomas said there he was not where he ought to be after the resurrection. He wasn't with the apostles. He wasn't obeying the Lord. He didn't believe. And so when the Lord appeared to his apostles, Thomas wasn't there. That'd be pretty devastating. And even he said to his apostles when he was there, he said, unless I see the nail prints in his hands and his side, I won't believe. And the Lord revealed himself to him. Could you imagine how many times that maybe the accuser, Satan, said, remember that time when you doubted the Lord? You're his apostle. You're supposed to be called, yet you didn't even believe him. How about Peter when he denied the Lord Jesus Christ there from just a little maid? How about when he forsook his calling even after? Many times the accuser of the brethren come along and would accuse Peter. And don't think he didn't do it. Don't think they were void just because they were apostles, because he does it to you and I. How many of y'all ever knelt to pray and have some of the most wicked thoughts you've ever thought in your life? You wonder where that came from. I have. I can tell you who it is. It's the accuser of the brethren. It's the devil himself. Will bring those things because you're in a spiritual battle, in a spiritual warfare. In 1 John chapter number 2, it says this, my little children, these things write unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. So we have an accuser, but praise the Lord, we have an advocate. And so the advocate there is there to say he's been forgiven. His sin's been blotted out. I know. And so when we look at there, it's verse number 2. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. You say, Brother Sewell, I don't know if I have a disease. I have a disease. You know what it is? It's diabetes. It's a disease because it's a disease of the blood. It affects every part of my body. If you have diabetes, whether type 1 or type 2, you know what I'm talking about. If you have any case, it affects your emotions. It affects the way you feel. It affects your temperature of your body. It affects whether you're sleepy or not sleepy, whether you're tired. It affects every part of it. It's a disease. But when he said here, the Lord healeth all of our diseases, you know what he's talking about? Every one of us, I had talked to you, have some sort of ailment. He's not talking about our physical ailments. He's talking about our soul's diseases. You know, the Lord didn't just forgive our sins. He also healed our soul. He took care of our soul. I'm talking to people that have soul problems this morning. You still have fear. You still have doubt. You still have anger. You still have temptation. You still have lust. You still have problems that are problems of the soul, the inner man. And the only problem and the only one that could fix it is the Lord Jesus Christ. He said he healeth of all the diseases. You say, how did he do that? If you want to turn to Psalms 107, I will show you how he does it. He said, I don't know how, I want to have my soul healed. Psalms 107, verse number 20, verse 19, we'll read, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. He's talking about his own children of Israel. And he saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. You say, how does he heal our soul of its diseases? By his word. This is a living book. And when we neglect it, D.L. Moody had written in the flyleaf of his Bible, either the Bible will keep me from sin or sin will keep me from the Bible. That's true. The Bible will keep us from sin. And it'll heal the things on the inside that we struggle with. It'll help us with. And so he says there in Psalms 103, who forgiveth thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. And then he says, who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction. I don't know if you remember the story, but there the prodigal son had his father's estate, wanted his inheritance, and so he demanded he'd get the inheritance. His father gave him the inheritance. If you read it, he gave the other son that stayed home his inheritance. So the prodigal left and wasted all his substance, all his inheritance, with riotous living. But he came to the end of himself because he was on the road to destruction. He ended up in the pig pen. and would have feigned or desired to eat what the hogs did eat. But he came to himself and he said, even the hired servants of my father have enough to eat. And he said, I will arise. And he went back to his father. And you know what his father did? He didn't go searching for him like the coin. He didn't go searching for him like the 99. He waited for him. And when he saw him down, I'm sure he probably ran to meet him, but he put his arms around him. And he redeemed him. He bought him. He put his redemption there. He said, redeem thy life from destruction. He was headed on destruction. You and I don't like to know it or don't even like to think about it. But every person that is lost is on the way to hell. They're on the road to destruction. In Matthew chapter number 7, I'm going to read a verse to you. I've read it to you before, but Matthew chapter number 7, I'm going to show you what the words of the Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew 7. He says, enter ye into the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Many are on the way to destruction. I didn't say it. The Lord Jesus Christ said it. He said, because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's the only way. There is no other way. There's not a religious way. There's not a way you can pay your way into heaven. There's not a way you can work your way into heaven. It's Christ is the only way. Only Christ. And Jesus said, there's a broad way that leads to destruction. We don't like to think, but men and women are headed to hell. And Jesus Christ died on the cross that we might be redeemed, that we might have eternal life. And we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He goes on to say, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercy. Remember that prodigal son came home? His father redeemed him, but all, what else did he do? He said, put a new robe on his hand and ring on his finger and shoes on his feet. What did he do? He crowned him. He crowned him. He gave him his position, his royal position he had there at home. That makes me think of a Mephibosheth when his father was King Saul and David was king, but his father was dead. He ran from David thinking his life would be taken. And David said, is there anybody I could redeem for Jonathan's sake? And they said, yeah, there's Mephibosheth that he resides down in Lodibar. But David restored him back to his place and the position and he crowned him. He was sitting there at the king's table. Again, eating the king's meat. Look, if you would, at the end, he says, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. You say, Brother Sewell, I don't know what to bless the Lord for. I really don't know in my soul about all the benefits. Well, just think about what God did for your soul. He says, he forgives. He healeth all thy diseases. He redeemeth thy life from destruction. He crowneth thee with loving kindness, and he satisfies thy mouth with good things. That's a pretty good start to say, oh, bless the Lord, oh, my soul. I'll give you another one. This will really be my last point. But he says, bless the Lord because of his great mercy. And I put it down just that way, because of his great mercy. Look at verse number 4. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Verse number 8 says, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. Verse number 11, he says, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. Verse number 17, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. I think you see the mercy there. And the mercy, and the mercy, and the mercy. When I was younger, fairly, I guess, surrendered to the ministry, I remember I was asked to preach a sermon on grace, on the topic of grace. And I can tell you this, I don't remember, brother, what I preached. I don't even remember the topic, the passage. I just remember grace. I couldn't tell you what I preached. But if someone were to ask me to preach on mercy, this would be one of the verses of scripture I would probably preach from. You say, I don't want to know what mercy is. I want to know what mercy is. Well, the Lord gives us a picture of mercy. You know what every one of us deserve? We deserve God's wrath because He's a holy God. But you know what God gives? He gives mercy. You say, I don't deserve that. You just think about your life. You think about your walk. You think about the regard you give to God and His holiness. You think about your goodness. And then you look at the Lord, you realize He's been giving us mercy. He's given us mercy. When you look at this thing, God gives us a picture, and He gives us a picture, and He uses people. He uses first, He uses Moses and the nation of Israel. Look, if you would, with me in this verse. He says, verse 7, He hath made known His ways unto Moses and His acts unto the children of Israel. That's a little open secret. He said He showed His ways unto Moses. You know who Moses was? Moses was the leader, wasn't he? Moses, you know it took God 80 years to get him where He needed him to be? 80 years. 40 years he was ready to identify. But he wasn't willing to go God's way. 40 years. And God put him 40 more years on the backside of the wilderness to get him humble enough to follow the Lord. 80 years old. That's what he had to do to get him where he needed to be. And Moses didn't know how to lead. And so the Lord had to give him that Shekinah glory there. He gave him Aaron to help him. And when they left the nation of Egypt there, he didn't know which way to go. And so he said, well, should we go the way of the Philistines or should we go the way of the Red Sea? And the Lord said He led them by the way of the Red Sea, not by the way of the Philistines, lest they had war and wouldn't turn back. Who led him? The Lord led him. And in each way, he didn't know where to go in that wilderness. You were out in the desert, would you know which way to go? Not if you was dropped off. No compass and no point. You wouldn't know where to go for the most part. You would hope you could look at the sun and tell the north, south, east, and west. Know which was north, south, and east, and west. You would hope. And so Moses didn't know. God led him. But you know, God was leading him as far as his direction, but God was also leading him to be the kind of leader God wanted him to be. He wasn't necessarily the leader he should have been. But God was leading him. He gave him His word on Mount Sinai. He revealed Himself to Moses. Why? Because Moses needed to know God's ways so he could lead God's people. You gotta know the Lord in order to direct someone else. You gotta get from God in order so you can lead someone else. And so the Lord was leading Moses, showing him His ways. Same thing with the nation of Israel. He said He showed them His acts in His mercy. They griped, they complained, they murmured every step of the way. And when I look at the nation of Israel, you know what I look at? I said, how in the world can those people be so stupid? I have read it so many times and I thought, they've seen it over and over and over and over. God's providential hand, God's blessing. And I say, how stupid can you get? And at the same time, God speaks to my own heart, said, it's you. You're the same way. The same way. The Lord has to lead us in the wilderness so He can get us ready for the Canaan land. A lot of us not ready for the abundant life because we're still complaining every day, not trusting, not looking to the Lord, not resting in the Lord. And so God has to bring us down that to get us ready to trust Him. And God says out of His mercy, He revealed it to Moses and revealed it to His people. I want you to look at this, and I think this is one of the most blessed verse, number 10. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor regard rewarded us according to our iniquities. You know what? Praise the Lord on that. Because if the Lord dealt with me according to my sin, I wouldn't be living. And neither would you. But God didn't deal with us, and He doesn't deal with us that way. I read a story about Elizabeth, Queen Elizabeth I. She had a man in her kingdom she really admired and cared for. So she gave him her ring, and she said, if you ever get in trouble anywhere in my kingdom, she said, if you'll present this ring, she said, they will present it to me, and I will hear your case. So I could really just give you another opportunity, another chance. And so somewhere, some time went by, and found out he was dead. He died. And then a princess called Queen Elizabeth. She was ready to die. And so she had to talk to the queen, and so she asked for the queen's request to come see her on her deathbed. So the queen, of course, did. Came there by her deathbed, and the princess wanted to get this sin that she felt, this thing on her chest, off. She said, there was this earl, there was this man in your kingdom that had a ring that he presented to me, and I didn't present it to you, and I killed him and sentenced him to death, and I want you to forgive me for my wrongdoing. You know what that Queen Elizabeth did? In rage and in anger, she grabbed that princess, began to shake her. She said, God may forgive you, but I won't. Praise the Lord, God didn't deal with us according to our sins like man would. God forgave us out of his mercy. And so when you look at this, the Lord sees a picture, and God doesn't deal with us, like I said, according he deals with. He gives us really a picture in length. Look at what verse number 12 about mercy. Far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. You say, how far is my sin removed? The Lord Jesus said, my sins are in the sea of God's forgetfulness. I was speaking to someone today, this past week in my office, and they were with my wife, and they were talking about some sins that they had. And I said, have you put them under the blood? She said, yes. And I said, well, I said, if you go to ask the Lord about your sins, I said, you know what he's going to say? I don't remember those. I said, the Lord said he's put it in the sea of his forgetfulness. He's forgotten it. And as far as the east is from the west. How far is that? You know, North Pole is a place and the South Pole is a place. God, by his scriptures, he didn't say from the north to the south. He said from the east to the west. Where does the east start and where does the west begin? Where does the west end and the east start? There's no ending. There's no point. There's no place. And so God has put our sins, he says, distance, as far as the east is from the west. Where's that? Praise the Lord. He doesn't know it. I don't know. And then he says here, he gives us one little last picture of mercy. He says, but the mercy of the Lord is from what? Everlasting to everlasting. Unto them that fear him and his righteousness, unto children's children. So how long lasting is God's mercy? Just suppose I'm in heaven. One day I'm going there. We've been there 10,000 years. And in that 10,000 years, the Lord Jesus says, you know what? Ben, I remembered when you did this. I remembered when you did that. Will that ever happen? Why? Because God gave me mercy from everlasting to everlasting. We can bless the Lord because of his mercy. All what he did for our soul. But it was all because of the Lord Jesus Christ and his mercy. And his mercy is everlasting. Give you this, and I'm not lying, I just will be very quick. I told you that was pretty much my last point. It is, bless the Lord, O my soul. Just that statement, O my soul. When you look at this chapter, we read verse 20. He said, bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his words. Then he says, bless ye the Lord, all ye his host. Who is that? He's already dealt with the angels. You got seraphims and cherubims, and you got saints, I guess, that are already in heaven. He says, all the host of heaven, all of his creation. He said, ye ministers of his that do his what? Pleasure. Then he said, bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. I mean, he talks about all the people and all the things that should bless the Lord. Moses, Israel, the angels, the host of heaven, his ministers. I mean, list them all. He's dominion of all the throne. But he comes down, the psalmist comes down to one thing. He said, bless the Lord, O my soul. My soul. Doesn't matter what everybody else is doing. It matters about my soul. I want to ask you this morning, when's the last time we blessed the Lord with praise and thanksgiving for all of his benefits? When's the last time we blessed the Lord for his mercy and honored him? We honor those that are fallen. We honor other people. We honor our doctors and those nurses, and that's fine. But the Lord Jesus Christ and God alone deserves, with all this within me, bless his holy name. my soul. You may be here and you say, I don't know if I can do that. You cannot do that if you don't know the Lord as Savior. If you've never been born again, you cannot bless the Lord. Matter of fact, the Bible says the wrath of God abideth on you. You have to know the Lord as Savior. You need to give your heart, your life, your soul to the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Every head bowed.